Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are. Amen. God add His blessing to that reading from His Word for His name's sake. Could we bow for a moment in a word of prayer? Let's once again plead with God for His help. Let's seek His face together. Our gracious God, our loving Father in heaven, we come again to Thee in Jesus' name. We thank Thee that we have the promise that Thou wilt be in our midst. But what we do need are eyes to see the Lord. We need Thy Spirit to open up these ears that so easily become stopped up with the noise, the din of this world. We need Thee, our God, to come and lift away any darkness that may be upon our minds that would keep us from seeing Christ today and that would keep Thy servant from preaching Him. We do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt take tiredness away from mind and body. And our Lord, we want today to know without any doubt that there has been a message from God for this congregation. Pass not one individual by, we pray. Leave us not to our own devices. Grant today, our God, that we'll be filled with all the fullness of God. We will know something more of the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Savior. And Lord, we're trusting Thee for this, for Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even imagine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. My text this morning is found in verse 1, at least a part of that text. John says, After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I want to give special attention to those words which John heard from heaven's open door, come up hither. Come up hither. I want to lift those words out of their strict context and look at them in more of a devotional light with you this morning. I want you to look at this appeal of Christ to John to come up hither as a call from Christ to his people to go higher. A call from Christ to his people to go higher. Come up here. I mean higher in our knowledge and experience of God. There is no doubt in my mind that it is the continual prayer of your minister that every one of you who professes faith in the Lord Jesus Christ would indeed heed this call to get to higher spiritual ground, to come nearer to heaven's holiness, nearer to heaven's joy in your own life, and nearer to heaven's Son. Certainly the Lord did not save us that we might just eke out a miserable existence as Christians in this world. Christ did not suffer the agonies of the cross so that you and I would live as spiritual cripples who just hobble through life from day to day, who just get enough grace to go from one day to the next, go to our jobs and come home and pursue all those earthly things and then come to church on Sunday. Christ died for a much greater life for us than that. As a matter of fact, he said, I came to give life. And I came to give my people life more abundantly. Note that, please, more abundantly. He says that we are more than conquerors. Not just conquerors, but there's something more than just being a conqueror. It is the will of God, says Peter, in his first chapter of his second epistle, that we live such a life that, I quote him now, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking about an entrance into heaven. That time that comes when you and I leave this world, an entrance might be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. That speaks of anything but getting into heaven by what we would say the skin of our own teeth. Just barely making it. Or as, if you prefer scriptural language, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, so as by fire. What a contrast that is to having an abundant entrance into heaven. Peter says that the Christian who gives all diligence to make his calling and election sure, and if you want to understand what that is, read those handful of verses just before he makes that statement. You'll find out what you are to give all diligence to. And he says, those who hear and heed this, in other words, this call to come up hither, is going to die differently than the Christian who doesn't pay much heed to the call to go higher. They will both enter heaven when they die, but one is going to die full of rejoicing and grace, full of the joy of the Lord, full of confidence, because they paid heed to the call to go higher. The other will die full of regrets because there has been little heed in the life to this call for higher ground. One will die with the mindset of Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Why so? Because Paul's great aim in life was to go higher, striving, pressing, stretching for the mark continually. He lived, he breathed to go higher in his walk with God. That's the test, our life. How do we face old age when all those things that we lived for, All those things that energized us to live are now taken from us, or we can't do them anymore. That's what happens with old age. I don't consider myself old yet. And I smile. I remember my mother driving along in the car with her one day. She wasn't driving, I was. She was 80 years of old, and there was a fella in the car in front of us, an old man too. And she said, "Look at that old man up there driving like that." She was 80, talking about the old man up in front of her. Well, I'm not there yet. I'm not old, but I do know, understand that the older I get, the less I can do. You get older and older, the things that energized you, that made it seem life worth living to you, you can't do all those things. And what will you do then? Or how are you going to die? Will it be an abundant entrance into heaven, or will it be saved, as Paul says, so as by fire? That will depend on how you responded in your life to this call from the Savior to come up hither. What I want to deal with is wrapped up in those words Christ spoke to John. While those words were an invitation of John to come up to heaven to see how the future was going to unfold, they are very suggestive of the call that Christ makes to his people to get to that higher ground in their spiritual life, to pursue the Lord with greater earnestness than they have been doing it, and to come up and away from the world and everything that keeps us earthbound. It is the call of Isaiah 41 to mount up with wings as eagles and to soar in the heavenly places with Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ coming to you this morning, if you're one of his people, and saying, "Come up here. I want you to get higher in your experience of me. I want you to go deeper in your knowledge of me and my work. Get closer to heaven. Get to higher ground." That's what I want to deal with. Two simple points. First, the reason we have this call from Christ to go higher. I should say reasons, there's more than one. Why do we need a command from Christ to go higher? Because that is the essence of Scripture. That's the essence of sanctification, you know. That's really what I'm dealing with this morning in a different way. Sanctification is the call of God to go higher. Why do we need such a command? To grow, to use terms of Scripture, to pursue, to strive, to give all diligence. Why do we have to have those commands? Well, number one, Christ gives this command because he loves us. Love, despite what the world says, love is the genuine concern for the welfare of the one you love. The genuine concern for the welfare of the one you love. You want what is best for them. You want what will be most beneficial to them. And Christ knows that the higher we get in our experience of him, in our knowledge of his word, in our place in prayer, then the holier we become. And he knows that the holier we become, the happier we become. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be a rejoicing people, not a miserable people, not going around with a sad countenance all the time, overcome and overwhelmed by the troubles and trials of life. Indeed, the troubles and the trials of life are sent into our lives that we might learn how to rejoice in the Lord and not tie our happiness to our circumstances, to how things turn out. He knows that. So he calls us to go higher. And when we are a happy people, we glorify the Lord the most.
We become advertisements for the Christian faith. The lost around us see us going through deep trouble and deep waters, and they find there's still a peace in our souls. There's a calmness about us, and they don't have it, and they know that. You see, all this is designed to bring glory to the Lord.
We don't like to see those we love in misery. It grieves us when we see them doing things that we know are going to hurt them.
How often you have told your children, "Don't do that. Don't go there. Stay away. It's not only not going to help you, it's going to hurt you." And the admonition is the call to stay away or to come here, whatever it might be, is because we love them.
And that is why Christ is calling you and me this Lord's Day morning to go higher in our spiritual lives. His love for us moves him through the preacher, through friends, through enemies, through crosses, and through losses. The constant call is, come up here, get higher. Get closer to me and get farther from the world. Get closer to me. Get farther and farther from the world. This is your peace. This is your joy. This is your safety. Moreover, because Christ loves us, he wants us nearer and nearer to himself. It reminded me of the words of the Song of Solomon, where Christ speaks to the Shulamite in chapter 2. "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." I don't know where you are spiritually as a child of God this morning, but no matter where you are, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, "Rise up and come away. Come nearer to me." Because there is a place of greater nearness to me. I want you closer to me. I want you more and more in my presence. I want you more and more talking with me. I want to be able more and more to speak to you. Not just on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. In the prayer meeting. Like everybody else, you folks hear the world the majority of the week. You're out and about among them. You have the constant appeal of the world to get closer to it. And you don't even realize it. Things that you do, you don't even realize it. It's the world saying, "Come down here. Come down here." And all along, Jesus is saying, "Come up here." Not only does Christ give this call to go higher because of his love, but in the second place, because the church needs Christians who go higher. The church needs it. The church needs ministers who go higher. Ministers are just like you, sinners saved by grace. Ministers have their own sins, they have their own struggles, have their own faults and their own failings. They have their own weaknesses, they're just mortal men. But they're God's men. And they're the ones that God has placed in the church to feed the flock of God, to live a life exemplary before the congregation. But if they are not going higher in their own walk with the Lord, if they're not going deeper in the Word of God, if their own prayer life is not growing, then that's going to have an effect, an adverse one, upon the congregation. The old saying is true, the man in the pew rarely rises higher spiritually than the man in the pulpit. It just doesn't happen. You'll always know when a church is declining, usually because there's a minister who's declining in the pulpit.
Denominations have gone off the rails. At one time, they were brilliant, shining stars for God. But because there was a spiritual malaise that set amongst the ministers, they began to decline spiritually. They quit praying. They quit reading the Word of God. That began to affect the congregation. And guess what happens? You end up going off into apostasy. But it all began because there were men of God who just got lazy about the things of God. So the church needs ministers who go higher. It needs elders and deacons who go higher. Men that God has called to this office. Congregation looks up to them. Looks to them for their help, for their guidance, for their wisdom in their own particular spheres of service. They've got to be going higher. I mean, let's dismiss the notion if there is such a one that, you know, the deacons aren't required to be any more spiritual than the elders. What utter nonsense. Going higher is the call for the leadership. Sunday school teachers, the church needs Sunday school teachers who are going higher. Not trying to live at a certain level or reach a plateau or trying to tread water, but are actually going higher in their own experience with the Lord. I tell you, the church needs husbands and wives who go higher. Husbands and wives together, not just one partner going on with God and the other one sort of actually acting as a detriment, as a deterrent to the spouse going on with the Lord, but husbands and wives walking unitedly in the fear of God, going higher. If I'm speaking to any married couple here this morning, your spouse seems to be wanting to go on with God, but you're resisting it, shame on you. Christ calls you to go higher. There are fathers and mothers who need to go higher. Your children are looking and they're watching. They have this amazing ability to smell the counterfeit. They want you to, looking at you to see, well, is it just a Sunday go-to-meeting Christianity that my father, that my mother has? And they see mom and dad going higher. At the very least, they know they are dead and earnest about God and about the things of God and walking with Christ. The church needs young people. Young people who profess they're saved, they're Christians, they're believers of the Savior. Young people going higher. Young people here in the church in Ballymena going higher. Not going down lower in the world. Not sinking in your own spiritual malaise, but getting to higher ground. Not being satisfied with where you are. Now, like never before, the Church of Christ desperately needs to see Christians who are going on with God, who live a deeper spiritual life, who are getting more earnest about holy living, who are becoming more serious about prayer, who are going higher in every area. That's the secret to power, the effectiveness of the church. As individual believers in this congregation go higher, so does the church go higher. And so Christ says to his people, come up here. Thirdly, because we need to go higher, because the world needs to see Christians who go higher. Now, this world has never had any time for the people of God, but there are still people in this pagan world that are going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're going to be an influence for God towards that end, then we need to walk before the world as those who live for heaven and who are not living for this world.
In that way, men will take knowledge that we have been with Jesus, and our walk will be consistent with our talk. And we will take from men the excuses, even though they are flimsy and vain excuses, why they don't want anything to do with Christianity, why they don't want anything to do with coming to church to hear the Word of God. We certainly will not give occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, or as Paul told Titus, that they will be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. Christ calls us to get to higher ground. We're supposed to be, are we not, light and salt. Light for this darkness, salt to preserve the evil. You all know the text well, at least the part of the text. He that winneth souls is wise. You've heard that for years. But the first part of that text is, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit of the righteous. The fruit, we're talking about holy living. We're talking about acting like Christ, talking like Christ. Spiritual fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance. That is a tree of life. It becomes a benefit to others. Our lives influence others. That is now united to he that winneth souls is wise. In this world, Balamina, your workplace, your home, your family needs that influence. There's a fourth reason we need to go higher. We are in danger if we don't go higher. The Lord calls us to go higher because He knows there is no such thing as maintaining, treading water in the Christian life. Spiritual stagnancy is a figment of our imagination if we indulge it. Stagnancy? If we're not going on, if we're not getting higher, if we're not seeking to get to higher ground, if we're not actively and daily pursuing the Lord, then we are declining. Because as you and I both know, our normal tendency, as the hymn writer said, it's prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. You have it. Or as Octavius Winslow, that contemporary with C.H. Spurgeon, said, there is this perpetual tendency for an alarming departure from God in the hearts of all of His people. A perpetual tendency to decline spiritually. And the remedy is to keep pursuing, to go higher. It is when we become careless about growing higher and getting nearer to Christ and His cross, that we become earthbound. And you and I get stuck in this miry clay here below. Our prayer life grows cold. We don't pray very much. Our interest in heavenly things wanes. And funny enough, our interest in worldly things increases. We have time for everything, but going higher spiritually. We open ourselves up to Satan's attacks. And we become easy prey for his bag of tricks. We might have a name that we live, like the Church of Sardis, but in reality, we're dead. It's very dangerous not to go higher. It's dangerous to ignore this constant call of Christ to get to higher spiritual ground. Isn't it sad I don't think I'm exaggerating. Many, many Christians, I know it's true in my country, I don't think it's any different here. Many Christians know what's on their cable television program-wise better than they know the Word of God. They would know the names of all the professional footballers, but couldn't recite for you the books of the Bible. They seldom read it. Prayer has become bondage. There's no joy in it. And I can tell you what's happened. They've not been listening to the call to come up hither. When you're in that state, you just don't have the interest in spiritual things. When you're sitting around in conversation with people, and the conversation turns upon the things of God, there's an awkwardness. There's a silence, and you can't join in. And if you're a child of God, you know in your heart of hearts why you can't join in. That's just not where your heart is at the moment. Oh, you'll talk about politics in a heartbeat. You'll talk about the brilliant weather. You'll talk about sports. The things of God. You see how dangerous it is not to get higher. When we get to that place, life becomes very empty, miserable. Here we are, intended to soar like eagles, and we're chained to the world. All because we ignored this call of the Savior. I don't live with you, and you don't live with me. I don't know where you are in your spiritual life. I don't know anything about your prayer life. I don't know anything about how much time you spend studying the Scriptures. I don't know when is the last time you began a day with God in prayer, or even if you have an interest in doing that. You might be sitting there this morning and saying, "You have just nailed me. You have been describing me to a T." Well, Jesus Christ is calling you now. Rise up, come away, come up hither. I turn to look at the road. Those are the reasons why we have to have this call. I want to look now at the road that leads to higher ground. You're going to find three things in verse 1 that are suggestive of the truths that I must believe and the road we must take in order to get higher in our experience with God. First, you'll find there is a heavenward look. John writes, "After these things, I looked, and behold." Those words mark John's second vision in Revelation, a vision that is taken up with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in chapters 4 and 5. Note those words, "I looked." It is as John was looking heavenward that he saw an open door and Christ calling him to come up hither. Remember, please, where John was when he had this vision. John was living as a prisoner in exile on the bleak and lonely isle of Patmos, where the prisoners were sent to work the mines. As an old man, well into his 90s, he sent to an island to work the mines. But those
very unwanted and unpleasant circumstances did not prevent John from setting his heart upon heavenly things. He could speak back in chapter 1 that he was, in spite of the location, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of what must have been deep affliction, he was able to say, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He makes note it was the Lord's day. That must mean there is one day that's particularly his day. Those that want to deny a Christian Sabbath have got to face this expression right there. It wasn't every day that was the Lord's day. It was one day, and he was in the Spirit on that day. The day when God's people would normally devote wholly to the Lord. He wasn't able to meet with the Lord's people in a normal place of worship because he was in exile, but that did not prevent him from sanctifying that day and setting his mind upon the Lord and upon heavenly things. And as he seeks the Lord, he finds himself in the Spirit, lifted up in a higher experience of God. And as John has his mind upon God, as his look and desires are heavenward, as that happens, he hears this voice from up there saying, come up hither! The simple point of application I want to make in all of this is that if you and I are going to go higher, by that I mean if our love for Christ is going to deepen, and what child of God here would not want that? Lord, this is my chief complaint, that my love is cold and faint, wrote the hymn writer. If our love for Christ is going to deepen, if our faith is going to increase, and what child of God doesn't want their faith to increase? You lament your unbelief. You kick yourself again and again. Why didn't I trust God? Why didn't I believe the promise? Why did I fall apart in that trial? Why was I so overcome with worry and dread when the Lord Jesus promised me that He doeth all things well? Why did I not believe when I was facing that dark situation that He will still make all these things work together for good no matter what happens? Oh yes, I want more faith. If our likeness to Christ is going to become more apparent, and if our desire for an exercise of prayer is going to grow and our compassion for the lost is going to abound where it gets over and beyond our fear of man, where we can speak to them about their soul, put our arm around them and say, how is it with you and God? Where we see more and more that the great need is seeing souls prepared for eternity. Not what social function we're going to this week. Not what we're having for dinner tonight. Am I going to get a raise at my job? But the great issues of life are men and eternity. Because when it's dead and done, it's all over. It's forever. If we're going to have a compassion for souls, if indeed our knowledge of the Word of God is going to deepen, then quite simply put, the Lord is calling upon us this morning to seek first the kingdom of God. Ah, you've heard that how many times? How many times over the years? Seek first. But I have to ask you, has that what you've been doing? Is that number one in your life? His kingdom. Above anything else, above anyone else. Seeking the advancement of His kingdom in your own heart, in your family, in this church, in this community, in the world.
to seek those things which are above. As Paul writes, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. To be spiritually minded, to live as strangers and pilgrims in this earth, because we seek a better country. The more we look heavenward, the higher we go in heavenliness. Set your affection. Literal translation of the word affection is mind. Set your mind on things above. Fix your mind, fix your thoughts upon heavenly things. Let that be the focal point of your life. Is it true of you? Is that what you live for? To get more grace, you see, you'll have to look up. To experience more growth, look up. To enjoy life as you were meant and designed to enjoy it, look up. A heavenward look. Need I say that it's got to be more than Sunday morning and Sunday night that you look up? Not just Sunday. It's looking up every day of the week. There's a second thing you find, and that's an open door. John said, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. A more literal rendering would be a door standing open. It's not that someone opened the door. It's that he saw a door standing open. Not shut. Open. You recall that down in chapter 5 when John saw that book with seven seals closed and no one could open it, he wept. But his tears were stayed when Christ prevailed to open the book, open it. The door that John saw was not shut, but open. And that indicated that this heavenly world was open to him. It was not shut to him. He had access to this heavenly world. Here's a truth that you must believe and lay hold of. One, you must plead in prayer. Going higher. And if there's anything else, you might forget everything else I've said, but this is the one thing I want to leave with you. I want you to remember. You have access. This is something that you can experience, getting to higher ground. It's an open door to you. A deep relationship with God. A prayer life that's not only consistent, but that brings you to pray with boldness and with faith and with confidence and with consistency and with fervency. It's open to you. This door to heaven, this door to heavenliness is open to you. A life of childlike faith in the Lord and His Word is available to any and every child of God if they'll heed the call to go higher. A life of deep joy, of great calm in the face of the severest of storms, of being clearly led by the will of God and the Word of God and all those things that are associated with going higher, it's open to you. You see, I am afraid, And I believe it's a fear that's well-grounded. There are many, many Christians in the church that have bought into the devil's lie that the door to this kind of Christian life is not open to them. It's okay for the minister, it's okay for the elders, but no, I'll never be able to read the Word of God like that. I'll never be able to study it. I'll never be able to pray like that. I'll not get that kind of holiness. No, it's just not going to happen for me. And it's a lie. And you have lived in defeat so many years. You've lived discouraged because you've bought that lie. You've consigned yourself to second best. Just because you have suffered many setbacks spiritually, just because you have tried and failed many times, just because you have made and broken so many resolutions to go higher that they've never been kept, just because you have besetting sins and difficult circumstances does not mean that a deep and close relationship with Christ is closed to you. Have you forgotten that we have been and are being saved by grace? I think this is a term that's little known by the Lord's people. Grace. Paul understood when he said, "I am what I am by the grace of God. I don't earn my access to God. I don't earn my acceptance with Him. Anything that I will ever become or be able to do for the Lord, it will be sheerly, purely by His grace." Grace. It's free. You don't have to reach a certain level of holiness before God will bless you. But isn't that our thinking? Isn't that our mentality? Because I'm not this idea we have in our mind, we haven't reached that level, God's not going to hear my prayers. I'm not going to have power with God in prayer. What utter nonsense that is. Whatever happened to grace? Whatever happened to free love? Whatever happened to mercy in our understanding and our thinking? I'm here to preach free grace today. I know you've tried and failed. And I will tell you something. Every minister in this denomination would testify to the same thing. I have tried and I have failed. I have tried and I have failed. But it's the grace of God that keeps you going on. I'm talking to someone here this morning. You've quit. You've just come to a place, nope, it's not going to happen for me. Have you forgotten that nothing is impossible with God? Have you forgotten there's nothing too hard for Him? Have you lost sight of the fact that God specializes in things thought impossible by men? He does the things others cannot do. Even you're not too hard for Him. Here's an open door to heaven. I don't think I'm pushing the symbolism of Revelation too far when I say that here is a picture of Christ who Himself refers to Himself as the door. Christ is the way of access to God. Christ is the door to higher ground. It is through Christ that we overcome our besetting sin. What is your besetting sin? Is it anger? Short temper? Your tongue? Is it pride? Is it the lust of the flesh? Is it pornography? Are you addicted to television?
What is it? It's through Christ and Christ alone that those sins are overcome. Through Christ we obtain faith that we find whatever we need will be supplied through His riches. It is through Christ that we have access into the most holy place where we're told to come with boldness and pray. Remember, please, upon this throne, you go to chapter 5, upon this throne that John sees, there sits the Lamb as it had been slain. I am telling you simply today, the way that you and I are going to go higher is through the cross work of Christ. It's through the blood of the Lamb. It's through coming to Him and saying, Lord, Your name is Jesus. And that name was given to You because You said You'll save Your people from their sin. And Lord, here I am, and my sins just, they weigh me down. And I can't overcome them. But You can. Here I am. Why do we give in to Satan's suggestion that we are consigned to living a mediocre Christian life when we can do far more than just get through a day, because God Almighty has called us to come up higher to the heavenlies? Why do we buy into the lie? I'm afraid that much of the reason lies in the fact that our mind, our look, has been too much earthward and not heavenward. Having said that, I need to point out that John is not the one who opened the door into heaven. It was Christ. Christ is the one who is seeking out John and calling him to come up where he is. Be certain of one thing: before a man will ever and can ever seek to go higher, Christ must first seek the man. The reason that any one of us will ever seek to go higher is because the Lord first comes to us and calls us and puts that grace in our heart, that desire to go higher. I sought the Lord, wrote the hymn writer, but afterward I knew He moved my soul to seek Him seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior, true. No, I was found of Thee. And yet the parallel truth in Scripture is that we must seek the Lord. We must pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And while it's true that God works in us both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, it's equally true that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out. Every child of God will one day cross the finish line in this race of faith, because Christ is the author and finisher of the faith. No doubt about it. You might be so full of doubts, but I'll tell you one thing: if you're His, you're going to cross the finish line. But that does not prevent the apostle from saying, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So it is Christ who must first call us to go higher and who instills in us that desire to go higher. It is Christ who must give us the grace to go higher. But none of those truths remove us from or diminish our responsibility to listen to His call and to give ourselves to the goal of going higher and going farther and going deeper in our experience of God.
Now, is that what you're doing? I'm a Calvinist, unashamedly. You'll see that in a moment. Christ must move. He didn't move. We're all in trouble. The fact of the matter is, as Peter tells us, He has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, everything that you will ever need to live the Christian life has been supplied already in Christ. Everything you need for life, it's there. The fact of the matter is, He has already graciously put His Holy Spirit within us. The fact of the matter is, His grace is already in our hearts. That appeal must come, and that's why I ask the question, is there with your own soul, are you pursuing, are you seeking? Would you have to say, well, you know what, it's a no-brainer. I know why I'm in the shape that I'm in spiritually. I haven't sought the Lord. I've got to take up that hymn we sang before the message. Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? I remember how my heart used to burn within me. But now I just come and I go to church and I come and I go. But really there's no vital life coursing in my soul. I'm really doing a lot of pretending. I'm playing at things. Man, if the minister only knew what it was like, what I was really like, I'd be so embarrassed. I can tell you where it all began. You quit seeking Him. You quit pursuing Him. And now the world's got a hold on you. The world has a hold on you, and you can't deny it. You just don't have much interest in spiritual things. Do you hear the call of Christ to you this morning? Come up here. Come up. The third and final thing, you read in verse 1, there's a gracious voice. John says, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Now that's a strange expression. A trumpet talking with me. The first voice which I heard. He's not meaning this was the first among other voices that he heard. It means that it was the same voice that he heard at the first. The same voice that he heard back in chapter 1. I heard that voice again. That voice that sounded like a trumpet. So that means this is the voice of Christ. Going higher. Therefore, going higher must always come through hearing the voice of Christ speak through His Word. There can be no spiritual growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ apart from being alone with the Lord and hearing Him speak to you through His Word. There will be no going higher. Study His Word for doctrine. Read His Word for direction. But above and beyond that, if you and I are going to go higher, then we must hear His Word speak to us in devotion. Devotion. Some people like to study their Bibles for end time prophecies, the last things. They get all hopped up about reading Daniel and Revelation. Or they get very interested when they have to make some big decision about life and don't know what's God's will, so I'll start reading the Scripture and find... No, you want to read for doctrine and you want to read for direction, but my, oh my, when you come, you want to come listening for the Word of Christ speak to your heart. This is a personal relationship. Personal. It's intimate.
The Lord speaks to you and you speak to Him in prayer, but you'll never, never get higher apart from getting alone with the Word. Now, let me ask you, is that what you've been doing? It's getting alone with the Word. Just opening it up and saying, Lord, speak to me. I know you've heard this. I sat under this minister long enough to know that you've heard this many times over the years, but there's a reason we need to hear it many times over. Because there's continually a devil that says, come down here. There's a devil who says, don't bother reading the Word. You're too busy today. You're too busy to read the Scriptures. Too busy. So I've got to come and say, I've got to ask the question, is that what you're doing, brother, sister? Is that what you're doing? Wouldn't it be nice? I just come and each one of you by name, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. How was it with you in the Word? This call to go higher is spoken by the voice of the King. This one sitting on the throne. It came with great clarity. That's the idea behind the trumpet. Clarity. It was crystal clear. He understood. It came with great authority. It was the voice of the great King, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. It came with great desire. Come up here because I want you near me and I want you to see my eternal purposes. That same voice is speaking to you this morning. You can't mistake the message, can you? It sounds like a trumpet. Come up hither. It's the voice of your God and your King that speaks to you with divine authority. It's not a command for you to consider, but one to obey. There is no wiggle room here. And the voice of Christ is calling you to come higher because He wants you to be near Him. He wants you to see more of His glory. He wants you to understand more of His sovereign power and His loving plans for your life. Everything, you know, the fog lifts. The fog lifts when you go higher. You know you've come to the King. And that one who from His throne is directing, commanding, ordering all things after His own will. And there's no place like that as a place of rest and peace and happiness and joy of soul. And you can get to that place because you've gone higher. You can say, Lord, smite as hard as you will. Do whatever pleases you. Because you will always do what is best. You will always do what is right. You will always do what is holy. You will always do what is loving. Always. When you go higher. You know, you wouldn't be such a worrier, dear sister. I say sister because I think women tend to worry more than men. Maybe I'm wrong. But you wouldn't be such a worrier if you just get higher. You wouldn't find yourself so downcast at your circumstances if you just get higher to the King, to the Lamb upon the throne. It gives you such a different perspective when you get higher. Years ago, if I've told you the story before, bear with me, but with old age, my memory gets bad as well.
I was headed off to Pittsburgh on a business trip before I went to the ministry. And Mr. Greer will know what Philadelphia I-95 is like early in the morning, making my way to the airport. It was utter bedlam. All the roads and streets feeding into I-95, chock-a-block traffic, you would call it. It was crazy. Until I got in the plane, and it started to rise, and I looked down from the plane, and I saw all the neat patterns. It was just, it looked so different from up there than it was down below. It was all just organized and structured. You see, when you get higher, when you get closer to the King, then what seems like such a maze and such confusion, so troubling, it all changes. But you have to go higher. John sees that when he goes up higher, all that happens down here below is decreed in heaven by the one who sits on the throne. That's what you'll find the book of Revelation is all about. Christ the King. Christ the Lamb as King on the throne ruling. All is well. But you got to go higher. So what will you do with this? What will you do with this message? As they said, you know, it's what happens after the amen that matters, isn't it? It's what you do when you go home. Because I'm done. My message is over. Now, will you go higher? God, write that word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Could we bow our heads in prayer? Let's all pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, we leave Thy word in Thy gracious hands. We pray, Lord, that Thy voice will be heard by Thy people this day. Let us not, Lord, in our folly, turn a deaf ear to this voice. Certainly, Lord, because of the very fact that the word has been given, this word, there are people here who have needed to hear it. They've lost out with Thee. Their life is a mess. Their home is a mess. And Thou art telling them this day to go higher. O our God, we pray for that gracious work to be done in us, that which only Thy Spirit can do. Lord Jesus, give us those ears to hear, we pray, and a heart that will run in the way of righteousness. We ask it all in the Savior's name and only for His glory. Amen and amen.